New York City police officer who has now been charged.
Stephen Wirth, the lead defense attorney for Officer Lien, says it was just a tragic accident.
There was nothing reckless or criminally negligent about the way Officer Lien performed his duties that night. This was not his first vertical patrol. It wasn't even his first vertical patrol that night. He's an experienced officer, and he's done them before.
Officials with the Bay Area Transit System are warning commuters they may have been exposed to measles. A regular passenger was caught with the measles after traveling February 4th through the 6th. USA Radio News.
Did you pay to do your taxes this year? Or did you not pay to do your taxes because you filed them for free on TurboTax and then you had some money to spend on something else, like a miniature train set so you can give all your 2-inch-tall friends a ride to a tiny post office or something? Anyhow, how you do your taxes is up to you. But if you want to pay absolute zero, then hop on TurboTax.com and file your taxes for free. Intuit TurboTax. It's amazing what you're capable of.
For simple U.S. returns only, offer may end without notice. See offer details at TurboTax.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans looking to head back to school, maybe you want to consider a career as a physician's assistant. Our correspondent Ron Taylor tells why.
Demand for physician's assistants has risen by more than 300% in the past 3 years, which is why Forbes magazine ranks becoming a PA the most promising job in 2015. President of the American Academy of Physician Assistants, John McGinnity, says that PAs and doctors are more similar than people think. He says the training is based on a medical model that grew from a concept started in World War II when there was a need to accelerate medical training to 3 years.
And in the late 60s, they got the idea of let's accelerate medical school, put them through an intensive training, and have them collaborate with physicians to improve health outcomes.
John McGinnity says you should have the same expectations of your PA as you do for your doctor.
PAs can diagnose, they can treat, they order and interpret tests, they assist in surgery, they prescribe medications in all 50 states and the District of Columbia.
President of the American Academy of Physician Assistants, John McGinnity, says PAs go through an intense training program.
Our students will go through over 75 hours in pharmacology, 175 in behavioral science, and almost 500 in clinical medicine. Then they spend over 2,000 hours in the bedside practicing medicine through a 24-month intensive program.
I'm Ron Taylor.
Yep.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Well, good afternoon. The weather for Hunterdon County, it is currently 47 degrees. There are scattered showers that are expected today, mainly after 5 p.m. It'll be cloudy with a high near 54 today. Tonight, scattered showers, mainly before 11 p.m. And the temperature for tonight is going to be around 49 degrees. Thursday, we will have patchy fog in the morning and then clearing with it being mostly cloudy with a high near 72. Thursday night, partly foggy again with a low around 53. Friday will be mostly sunny with a high near 72. And then Saturday will be mostly sunny with a high near 59, so we're going to have a drop in temperature, and Sunday having showers most of the day. It is currently 12:06.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program. I also have my master's in counseling. I am a nationally certified counselor and a licensed professional counselor. And I have a small practice here in Flemington. My topic today is about terrorism and fanaticism. And is fanaticism a mental illness? And in light of the tragedy and the terrorist attack yesterday in New York City, and also just some things that I've seen online, people asking questions about what in the world is going on, what makes people do some of these things, what turns someone into a terrorist, I don't really have the answer. But in doing some Googling and looking things up, just seeing if there is a connection. I personally believe that there is a connection. I do want people to know that listen to my show, that the things that I talk about are sort of a combination of things that I've learned as a counselor, some of the theories that I learn in practice, and also some of my own personal opinion. So I don't expect that everyone is going to necessarily agree with me on some of the things that I talk about. And that's quite okay. But generally speaking, when there is an act of terror or a mass murder, such as that shooting that took place in Las Vegas, we ask questions, not just to find out evidence for, you know, the guilty party, but we look for the reason. What is the reason? Why does somebody do something like this, have this extreme behavior that may be based in religious extremism or political fanaticism? How do we account for it? What goes on? Now, one of the things in the DSM-5, which is the diagnostic manual that I use and that doctors use and psychiatrists use, we have a list of many different disorders and illnesses with their descriptors. So if someone comes to me and they're talking about their depression, and they say that they're having trouble sleeping, and they're not eating, and they're always sad, and they find themselves crying, and they lack interest in anything, and there's no motivation. And I could look up depression, and I will see that, gee, you know, they've got 7 of the 9 descriptors. And it may say you only need, you know, 5 of the 9 descriptors to indicate that the person has depression. If they report that this is the way they feel every day, then I might say it's severe. So it gives me the ability to rate how severe it might be, mild, moderate. Fanaticism is not listed. There is no diagnosis for someone who is a fanatic. And fanaticism is not specifically related to only things like religious extremists or someone who is extremely political in nature. We can be fanatic about many things. Not just religion, not just politics. So what does it mean to be fanatic? It's not considered a diagnosis. But it's when someone has an excessive, and single-minded zeal, extremely devoted to to be, again, religious, militant. It could be based on a point of view. It is excessive. It is excessive. It implies unbalance. It implies obsessive behavior. Now we begin to talk, move into, I don't know, more of the mental health area. Obsessive behavior. It is as if someone has an unchecked enthusiasm, and we tend to think of enthusiasm as a positive word, but an unchecked enthusiasm towards a mindset, an ideology, a belief system. And that's what an ideology is. It's my ideal. And the difference between an ideal and an idea. And an idea is, aha, yeah, that's a good idea. I think we're going to, you know, go to Cancun in January when it's really cold. That's a good idea. We're going to go where there's sun when it's winter here in New Jersey. That's an aha. Okay. An ideal is a set of beliefs or visions. And when I say visions, I'm not talking about schizophrenic goals. That are surrounded by perfection. The ideal pumpkin. Yesterday, okay, was Halloween. I may have this picture in my head of the most perfect looking pumpkin and the way it's going to look when it gets carved out and the way it's going to shimmer in the dark and scare all the little children. My perfect jack-o'-lantern. However, when I get my pumpkin, it's got flaws, and when I go to cut it out, I make mistakes, and it's just not what I pictured. It's just not picture perfect. My ideal is my perfect image in my head. An ideology is a perfect picture in my head based on belief systems that I hold. That I adhere to, that are more than just an interest in a cause, more than just a point of view. It is excessive. It implies imbalance. It is obsessive in nature. And when we have that situation, we have a situation that is dangerous. Because if I had a fanatic, obsessive belief, and I think that everyone must believe the same way or be destroyed, I may be willing to go to any length to see to that ideology, the ideal. When we put a name on it, it seems to satisfy a deep human need to explain what is unexplainable. How could anyone, and this is the state, how could anyone in their right mind do this? Rent a truck and drive it through bikers in Manhattan. Drive it into a school bus. How purposely, how could anyone in their right mind, and therein lies the answer. They're not in their right mind. There really is no clear boundary between religious and political extremism from a psychiatric viewpoint. One man's beliefs can be another man's delusion. It's really hard to say. It's very nebulous. However, what we do see is behavior. And for me, my practice, I will say, is probably 50% of what I do is cognitive behavioral therapy. So what does that mean? And I know I've talked about it before. I haven't actually talked about it recently. But cognitive behavioral therapy means if I think about something or there's a belief that I have, a situation occurs, it stimulates my belief. It stimulates my behavior that stems from that belief, and then I have a consequence. If I believe that every, and I use this all the time, so you may have heard this one, if I believe that everyone should always use their blinker, and if they don't use their blinker when they turn their car, they're bad and awful people, and they must be stopped. The guy in front of me didn't use his blinker. He turned left. Now I'm on his tail. I'm flashing my lights. I'm screaming at him. I'm giving him my finger. I'm going to show him. I'm going to race around him, and I'm going to get in front of him. I'm going to turn my blinker on to give him the message that he didn't use his blinker. Because everybody, always, these are indications of belief systems. Everybody always should use their blinker, and if they don't, I can't stand it. And it must be changed. What it means is that I have a belief system that is causing trouble for me in my life. And may generate behavior that is unhealthy, that even can be, and this is my viewpoint, evil. If my behavior, based on my belief system, says I need to kill people, to me, that's evil. I am not saying that being interested in politics or being interested in religion or being religious in itself is a bad thing. As a matter of fact, they can be very good things. It is when we shift to that area of being fanatical. Someone who is a sincere fanatic detests that the word insanity may be used to describe them because it invalidates their belief system. They would rather be punished as criminals than be labeled as someone that has a mental illness. At the same time, it's really hard to jump to a conclusion that someone who is fanatical in their religious belief system is mentally ill. There are many people who have fervent belief systems, who are very strongly saturated in their religious beliefs and are not violent. There are many people who are extremely politically minded, but are also not violent. So I'm going to take a little commercial break, and I will be back to talk a little bit more about this topic, which is, I think, both interesting and confusing at the same time. So I am Ruth Altemir Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat, and I will be back in just a few moments.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altemir Roll, your host for today's program. And I'm talking to you today about terrorism, the fanaticism, and mental illness. We had this tragedy, this based in terror, yesterday in New York City. It's not the first time. Sadly, it will not be the last time. And we lost 8 lives as a consequence. Because someone was, as we say, radicalized. They've become a radical. An extremist. A fanatic. They have developed an ideological belief system that is willing to go to any length. We see it in issues of religiosity, such as what happened yesterday, and we see it politically, where we have things like Antifa and neo-Nazism and white supremacists and those things that are extreme. Now, most of us at some point have taken math, and we're aware of, we may not always remember, the bell curve. So if you think of the bell curve, which would be like a nice inverted U, so it's an upside down U with a stem to the right and a stem to the left at the bottom. Normal are all the little dots that sort of in the middle. So I have 100 people and I am testing them and I'm finding that 90% of the people really gather around the middle. However, I find that I've got a couple that go down to the left and a couple that go down to the right. Deviations, standard deviations is what we would call them. The further you deviate, the further down the line you go away from the center of the U. A fanatic. Okay, so we can say someone who is militant towards atheism will go to any lengths, destroy churches, tear down synagogues, destroy statues and graveyards. Okay? That is someone who is an extreme fanatic atheist. Then on the other hand, you have got the extreme religious person who's willing to drive a truck through bikers to make a statement for his religion so that he might be able to die and go to heaven and get his seven virgins, whatever that is. Making a statement for his religious beliefs. But it's deviant. Diverging from the center. So I want to make that clear. That this is deviant behavior. Either way. On either side. Against God. For God. Chances are if we were to ask a mental health professional to provide a diagnosis with someone that is in that area of deviation, we might say that they have a psychotic disorder like schizophrenia, that they may have severe obsessive compulsive disorder. That it is something more than just practicing a religion. It has morphed its way into mental illness by the nature of the fanaticism. It may even be that it is addictive in nature. Addictive in nature. The brain is a vast territory where we are just really beginning to understand. We have done a lot of research on the heart and on the lungs and on the kidneys and on the stomach. We can do hip transplants and heart transplants. We can do eye transplants and ear transplants, you know, the inner mechanism of the ear. But we have done very little to really look at the inner workings of the brain. What is going on in the brain of someone who has become so fanatical in their thinking? What chemicals are going off in their brain that is causing the belief system and the behavior attached? The very interesting thing about something like cognitive behavioral therapy is that what we are actually doing through the process of changing a belief system, through the process of changing behavior, is we are actually beginning to change the way the brain works, creating a new habit. So when someone becomes radicalized, chances are they already are having issues. They're already having issues in the way their brain is working, in their belief system. It may be that they have such low self-esteem, such an inability to connect with other people. And somewhere along the line, they've connected to this area of religiosity that makes them feel empowered. And they like that feeling. So they go after it even more. They begin to feel like they are someone, that they can do something that's going to affect the world in a particular way, even though the action may be evil. It's not unlike someone who is addicted, in general, to alcoholism or drug addiction. Fanatical, ideological, and absolutist mindsets is one of humanity's greatest scourges. Whether you're a leader or a follower, people who indulge in this type of fanatic belief systems end up feeling self-affirmed. They have a know-it-all confidence. My way of thinking about religion is so correct. I am so connected to it. I feel fantastic when I am thinking about it. I know above all else that my way of thinking is the right way, the only way, and everyone needs to believe and act my way. Because it is the absolute truth. It is absolute perfection. And I want to impose that on everyone. And if you can't get it, you are evil and should be killed. This type of belief system can latch itself on to many things, like I said, religious, political, right-wing, left-wing, Christian, Islamic, libertarian, communist, New Age spiritual, old-time religion. It doesn't matter. It's that deviation, those standards of deviation from the norm. It is fanatical in belief, even if there is no evidence. That feeling of confidence, that feeling of knowing everything, that feeling of being self-affirmed is so powerful. That it is a drug. Fanaticism is like a drug. It's like crack cocaine or alcohol or heroin or only worse. Fanatics go through life like alcoholics driving under the influence. They think their driving is perfectly fine. They don't notice how they're affecting others. And they kill innocent bystanders, sometimes by the thousands. We know that treating addiction as if that person is a criminal doesn't help them. Not that I don't believe that there needs to be consequences to behavior. I do believe it's a road for recovery. In responding to someone yesterday, saying, I just don't get it. How can people do this? This fanatical behavior, belief system. Well, I don't know. Some of you may remember, and we now have a saying, oh, you know, they drank the Kool-Aid. We say that. We don't even know exactly what it means anymore because that situation happened, oh gosh, I'm not sure when. Let me see if I can look that up. So I'm seeing if I could find out when that was. I think it was in the 80s. Okay. So Jim Jones was an American religious and cult leader who initiated and was responsible for mass suicide and mass murder in Jamestown in 1978. He believed in communism as it was the correct social order and in compliance with God's will. He ordained himself as a disciple of Christ. He was a fanatic. And the people that followed him became indoctrinated, radicalized to his fanatic belief system. Where he ultimately put cyanide poisoning in Kool-Aid. And they all drank it. All his followers drank it. And died, obviously. Now, with normal thinking, I wouldn't drink Kool-Aid laced with suicide. I have my own thought process. I don't need to follow someone to the end of the earth. I don't need to get to the point where my belief system is so correct. You see, there's that line. It shifts over from having, I'm a religious person. I have a strong belief in God. I am not a fanatic. I also have the ability to question God. I have the ability to question people. Policies, politics. I am not willing to follow something to the point where it's going to cause harm. Because if that's where it's going, then it's not healthy. Harm to myself, harm to other people. So I'm going to take another commercial break, as it is important that we give our the people that sponsor Hunter and Chamber Radio, give them their voice. So I will be back in a few minutes after listening to these few short commercials. I am Ruth Altemura-Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altemura-Roll, your host for today's show. I have my master's in counseling. I'm nationally certified as a counselor and I am a licensed professional counselor. I have a small practice here in Flemington, New Jersey. And I deal with many different issues concerning people struggling with depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress issues, many issues around addiction, so that I deal with people struggling with addiction in early recovery or further along in recovery that they're struggling. I deal with people who have grown up in dysfunctional or alcoholic homes. I deal with people struggling with codependency, helping with self-esteem, anger management issues, grief and loss issues, so many different things, plus couples counseling. I also do couples counseling. If you are interested and want to find out more about what I do, please follow me. You can find me on the web at www.altarolecounselor.net. That's altarol, two L's, counselor.net, so that's O-R. You can also find me on Facebook under Counselor's Chat. So please go on to Counselor's Chat and like that page. I list my shows there. So if you would like to go into the archives of Counselor's Chat and listen to some previous shows, you can go onto the Facebook page, and you can then find different topics that I have discussed, and then go to the coordinating date on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio site to listen to that topic. And I discuss many, many different things. As a counselor, there are many things to discuss, from how we take care of ourselves physically, how we interact in our relationships, our spiritual lives, our cognitive lives, our emotional lives, our behavior. All of those things are integrated into the counseling practice. So today I am talking about terrorism and fanaticism being a mental illness or not, and that it's blurry. We don't have a mental illness descriptor in our diagnostic manual for the fanatic. However, it does seem to show signs of obsessive and compulsive, and that oftentimes it is people who feel disconnected, empty, low self-esteem, powerless, small, hurt, depressed, unloved, distant from, find that they feel part of, they feel powerful, they feel all of those things that are positive based on being radicalized. I now have power to do something. I have power to change the world. I have power to create my own destiny. And I don't see that it can be dangerous. So as I was saying, fanaticism is very much like a drug because it feels good. A cocaine addict, a heroin addict, an alcoholic, a gambler, a sexaholic, all of these people may not think that they are doing damage. The only person I'm hurting is myself. Oftentimes I hear someone who is an alcoholic in recovery say, "You know what, when I took that first drink, I finally felt a sense of inner peace. I finally felt a sense of inner power. The scared little person that I was fell away, and I could do anything. I could get on the dance floor. I can ask women out. I could ask men out. I could go for that job." You know, one of the things about cocaine, oh my gosh, I could be the greatest. Do the most. Be the best. My energy and my power are never ending. Until it kills me. Or kills you. Or I'm struggling with schizophrenia. I didn't think that I was out of control until there was all of the damage. This guy yesterday, he didn't think he was out of control. He knew exactly what he was doing. But look at the damage. Just like there is Alcoholics Anonymous. Believe it or not, there is a 12-step program for fanatics called Fanatics Anonymous. Now, I'm going to say chances are you're not going to find too many of those meetings around. But they're around. And if they're not, you can actually start one. fanatics can have these areas, these things that happen to them. They get painted into a corner. They don't. They're shamed by society. They are criminalized, and we don't look at it necessarily as a disease. But it's actually easier to look at something as a disease, because then we can come up with a cure or a treatment. The reality is, it's never anyone's fault. I don't know anyone who becomes an alcoholic or a heroin addict because they want to be an addict. It's filling a need. Fanaticism fills a need. When we start talking about it as a disease, we could say, well, it's not your fault that you have a disease. However, you are responsible to kick this disease. You are responsible to seek treatment. Using a 12-step program like AA can create a safe haven for people recovering from political and radical religious fanaticism, ideologies, and absolutes. The message is, yes, you're a wreck and you've done real damage. You've become a host to a powerful parasite that manipulates your mind. But what we can do is we can use reason. There are actually 12 steps for Fanatics Anonymous. We admit we're powerless over fanaticism and that our lives have become unmanageable. The shooter in Las Vegas, that's an unmanageable life. This 29-year-old Muslim in New York, that is an unmanageable life. Step 2, we come to believe that reason is a power greater than ourselves that can restore us to sanity. And that we are going to turn our will and our lives over to reason. We are going to think things through. We're going to understand that we have harmed people through our radical, fanatic behavior and ideas. And we're going to make amends. Step 11, I'm not going through all the steps, but step 11 says, sought through inquiry, debate, conversation, curiosity, and doubt to improve our conscious contact with reason. Seeking to better understand the human tension between what we want to believe and what is most likely true. What I want to believe is this ideological, perfect, absolute, but that's not true. Cognitive behavioral therapy says the belief in perfectionism is irrational. A guarantee that if I do this act and I die, there's a guarantee of my 70 virgins is irrational, because there are no guarantees. That's an absolutist, fanatical thought. There is the possibility of, there is the hope for. The ability to question. So in AA, we are replacing, AA talks about God and higher power. We're replacing God with reason. However, we're talking about balance. So we're taking those extreme fanatical on the deviation and bringing it back towards the middle. And what is reason anyway? Well, reason is nature's gift to humankind and to the humanitarian impulse. It's also called rationality. It also comes from the same root as ratio, to compare, to discern, to evaluate, to judge carefully and humbly in our efforts to better find solutions on how to live our lives in a healthy way. So, I don't know if I answered the question. Is it mental illness? Is it just fanatical religious belief? I don't know. But I hope that my topic for today was helpful. I think it was a little helpful for me. And I will be back next week with Counselor's Chat. So I wish you all good mental health, and we need to keep moving forward every day, and let's not make terrorism the new norm. Let's work at creating healthy lives. Have a good week.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Just a little note. Tomorrow, November 2nd, at the Clinton Library in Clinton, New Jersey, there is a support group for depression and anxiety. It is tomorrow night, 7:30, Clinton Library. Anyone struggling with depression or anxiety is more than welcome to come. Hopefully, if you have those struggles, you will be there to gain some support.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We understand this was an attack on our values to break our spirit, but as an effort to break our spirit, it failed.
New York's Democratic Mayor Bill de Blasio discussing yesterday's terror attack in Lower Manhattan, in which a 29-year-old Uzbek native takes a truck and runs down pedestrians and bicyclists, killing at least eight, injuring over a dozen, saying he did it for ISIS. The NYPD Commissioner James O'Neill says,
"What happened yesterday?